If this title sounds familiar, it's from 2 weeks ago. I started this and got through, I think, two verses. But it's a message that, it's what we're living. It's what we're living. Before I get too far into it, I want to tell you something. So some of you may have last week in ministry time seen this. It's not a crystal. It's a plumb line. It's a plumb line. And I'm just going to explain it. And I may have to refer to, a text I got from Patrick. So a plumb line is in the scriptures. And you know, if anybody doesn't know what a plumb line, it's used to make things level. This is an old version of a plumb line. It's basically an old version of a level, a construction worker, contractor's level. And they would use it to put it over here, and then they'd go over here, and then is it level over here? And so, I'm just explaining this because this is all part of some things the Lord's doing among us, is just showing us things in the natural that have to do with things in the spiritual. So Patrick Coleman had gotten this word, and it comes right out of Amos, where the Lord is using a plumb line. Actually, it's actually a place of judgment against Israel. Is Israel living up to the call that I've had on my people? And so, I asked. Patrick's not here today. I'm not sure he's at work or he couldn't be here. But anyway. It's from Amos. In a vision, God uses a plumb line to measure a wall, representing God's assessment of Israel's faithfulness to his law. But here's what I got from Patrick. He had actually shared this a while back, that the Lord was aligning his people. He was aligning his people to his will and to his way. And this all ties to this word. That's why I'm sharing. Well, I'm sharing it because just people observed this last week and some wondered what it was. And honestly, sometimes when we are exercising prophetic acts, sometimes it looks weird. Sometimes it's going to look weird. Don't worry about that. I reassure you that we're never going to participate in something that doesn't have basis in Scripture. So be assured of that. But here's how Patrick explained it. God showed me that he was dropping a plumb line on the members of Abundant Life Fellowship. Dropping a plumb line. He has a measuring rod here to say, are you, and again, he's not expecting perfection. We're not talking about walking in perfection, but we are talking about walking with his Spirit. We're talking about being seated with him. I'm going to connect this with our message. That we can no longer sway to the left or to the right. That he was plumbing us up straight in perfect alignment with his will and his living and moving and breathing word. So ties to this. That our yes will be yes and our no's will be no. You know what's interesting? I think this is a verse we've looked at before. He would rather you say no to him than say yes and do it halfway. He'd rather you say no to him. Which is astounding. That our yes will be yes and our no will be no. That we will either be hot or we will be cold. We will either be on his side or we will not be. So that's the explanation for that. I know sometimes things can look a little weird, and if you're not up close or you don't understand the context. We thought we'd explain it. And he handed that to me yesterday at prayer meeting and said, tell the people what it's all about. And I think that's important. That's really important. So this whole idea of being seated with him in heavenly places, we talked about this again today in open door class. This word came about a while ago now. Pastor Ben got up here. It'll be almost a month now. And it was a morning like this where worship just went places, took us places. This is happening week by week by week. We come to expect that we're going to be in his presence, that he's going to pour his Spirit out upon us. and he's taking us places. And he's been doing this week by week by week by week. And we love that. It's not just about us. I say this almost every time it happens. It's not for us to feel good. It's not just for us to get all excited and jump around and do crazy things. He is doing a work. And we heard about that work in the word Mike shared with us. It's a refiner's fire work. It's a refining work. He's doing this work. So he pours his spirit out to do a work in us, not just to make us feel good. And so he's been doing this work. Pastor Ben got up that Sunday after worship, and he said to us, "We have crossed the Jordan. We have crossed the Jordan today." That was about a month ago. "We've crossed the Jordan today, and we're not going back." We're not going back. And so throughout the next week or so, the Lord started showing me this verse. And this verse is from Ephesians 2. And this is how I started the message 2 weeks ago. I'm starting at the same place. I'm not going to do everything the same, but I'm starting at the same place because it's core to this. And here's what the verse says. "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the rulers of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." So we all were at that place at one point. We're all at that place where we followed the ways of this world. We followed the spirit who is at work in this world, our enemy, the devil. And that's how we functioned. He said, "All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following the desires of our thoughts." And one of the things I said then, and I'm going to say it again now, is don't forget where you came from. Don't forget where you came from. As the Lord brings us into freedom and has brought us into this amazing love relationship with Him, don't forget where we came from. Don't go back there. Don't dwell there, but don't forget where you came from. It's really important because we're ministering to a whole lot of people who are still there. That's actually our assignment. That's our main assignment, is to minister to those who are still being living in that place. So like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, that's a clincher there. Don't forget his great love for us. That's why he does what he does, because he loves us so much. He loves you. If you're in this place today and you don't know you're loved by him, know that you're loved by him. Know that you're loved by him. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his love. So that's where we are. When Pastor Ben said we are crossing over and we're not going back, this is where we are. He's calling us into this place of being seated with him. And again, this is not one of the things Pastor Ben said in that message that day, is the things that we're experiencing are not new to God, but they're perhaps new to us. And I think I even said this 2 weeks ago. This is not new to us in concept, but it may be newer to us in practice 24/7. And that's the clincher. That's the clincher right there, 24/7. Because I think I said this too, but there's probably been times when we've sat next to Jesus and we're living there, and then for whatever reason, and sometimes it's the enemy involved in drawing us back, but he says, "No, I don't want you doing that. Come back down to earth. Come back down to earth and function here," because when you're functioning here on earth, you're functioning by your emotions and by the things that come against you. And the Lord's saying, "No, I want you to function in a different place. I want you to live here. I want you to live seated next to me. Seated next to me, 24/7, 24/7. And I've thought about this a lot as it relates to our word, go and tell. Our word is go and tell this year. We're supposed to go and tell our stories. And part of even telling that story is we can tell it from that perspective, that I get to tell you about Jesus because he sits right next to me. And that may sound weird to people that don't understand, but we can explain it. We can explain what that's, we have. He allows us into this deep personal relationship. He's not far away. He's not far away. He's not far away. And so the second verse I shared was this: "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing." They are ours. They are ours for the asking, for the taking. When we sit next to him, we have everything that he's made available to us. Everything that he's made available to us. And so that's where we started 2 weeks ago, and we gave these prophetic words. We had the prophetic word about the worship song we sang: when we walk into the room, everything changes. When he walks into the room, it starts with him, starts with him and it ends with him, but we get to be involved. So when we walk into a room, and we did this prophetic act of walking into a room and visualizing ourselves being used, everything can change because he lives in us. He lives in you. We did this prophetic act of, Bobby shared some of these things last week in his message about these flashlights that I bought and we passed out at the street fair, and they have a little tab on them. And the flashlight won't work until that tab's pulled out. It won't work until the tab's pulled out. And the Lord showed me words on these tabs: fear, pull out the fear. Anxiety, pull out the anxiety. All kinds of different things won't work until we are living in that place. Until we reckon ourselves living in that place. Now that reckon ourselves being dead to Jesus, or dead to self and alive to Jesus, dead to self, alive to Jesus, doesn't happen until that happens. So we're living in these places, this heavenly realm, while we're here on earth. And I don't know about anybody else. I know about a lot of you. A lot of you are learning to function in this. If anybody's hung out with Pastor Ben at all lately, you know that there's been a transformation going on in him. Now, he was transformed many years ago, but the work's not done. The work's not done in any one of us. It's continually. He's continually refining us. Again, the value of that word for us today, refiner's fire, refiner's fire, refiner's fire. So one of the things the Lord showed me as I was putting this together, one of the things I told you 2 weeks ago, I have notes on my notes, and I have even more notes on my notes than I did 2 weeks ago. So I gave that word 2 weeks ago, and the very next day, I was on Facebook, and some of you remember Damian Williams. If you came to the last Saturday seminar we had earlier in the year, Damian Williams is a pastor over in Newcastle. And he was kind of our guest speaker for this Saturday seminar. And one of the things that he identified to us when we were here is that, and again, Ben, Bobby referred to this last week, that he referred to us as an apostolic hub, that we're going to, we're growing into this function in the community, in the region, as an apostolic hub. And, you know, again, none of this has anything to do with arrogance or pride or us. It has to do with him, but we get to be living it out. But anyway, Damian Williams posted a scripture about our citizenship being in heaven on Facebook last Monday, and here that was his message that Sunday, which was the same message that we were giving that day. And Pastor Mark even said how our message was this, and so and then he shared the verse. 2 days later, we get this. Word from Lana Vosser. I think Bobby referred to it last week. Bobby sent it to me last Monday. Pastor Ben sent it to me. Linda King sent it to me. All that Monday, the Monday after this message. And it was all about this word that the Lord had spoken to Lana Vosser. She's a woman who moves in the prophetic, I believe, out of Australia. And it was all about, I'm leveling you up. I'm leveling you up. I'm wanting you to function from heavenly realms, not earthly realms. You know, all over and over again, these words are coming to they're coming to pass. And so it's not just an abundant life thing, but if you happen to be here at Abundant Life, it is about something he wants us to function in. So whatever it is you're dealing with, we function from that place of being seated with Jesus. You got stress in your life? Jesus is sitting right with you. Talk to him about it. Talk to him about it. You got stuff you're dealing with? You need wisdom? He's you're seated right with him. Talk to him about it. He'll give you answers. So all the recurrence of this same word, it's a word for God's people, not just us here at Abundant Life. Not just us here. So although I am less than the least of the Lord's people, this is again in Ephesians, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now through the church, Marvin shared this verse in class today, had no idea it was in my notes, made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to the purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through him, through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. So we're, he's using the church through the church, through the church, through the church, through the church, through the church. That's you, that's me. We're the ecclesia. We've heard this word over and over again, that God is raising up his ecclesia, his governing authorities to function in the earth in 2024 in ways that perhaps we've never done before, maybe because we didn't understand it, or maybe it wasn't time. I mean, the scriptures have always been true, so it's maybe always been time. Pastor Bobby said last week that this work that's going on, this outpouring of his spirit, is going to usher in the return of Jesus. And I absolutely believe it. I absolutely believe it. So we're going to function in this place of being seated with Jesus, wherever we are, whatever we're doing. You can do this while you're in your job. You can do this while you're grocery shopping. You can do this while you're playing a sport. You can do this while you're sitting in a classroom. You can do this while you're recreating in your neighborhood. We're seated with him. We're seated with him. And the reality is, when we're seated with him, he is spilling out. He is spilling out. Sometimes you'll use scriptures while you're communicating. Sometimes you won't have to, because his spirit is so strong that people say, why are you, do you have such a peace? Because I'm seated with Jesus and he lives inside of me. Where did that word of wisdom come from that you just gave to me? Well, I'm seated with Jesus. He showed me that. Where does that, how are you functioning with such strength when you've been so busy? Because I'm seated with Jesus in heavenly places. So, as I was preparing for this a few weeks ago, I'll just read the scripture and I'll explain it. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross. That's still true. That's still true. And those are the ones we want to reach. That's our audience. That's our target, to reach those who are still living as enemies of the cross. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. This is the verse that Pastor Damian Williams shared. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lonely bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. And then, from the Gospel of John, so we know this amazing prayer that Jesus prays right before he's leaving the earth. I love this passage. We've taught on this passage for many, many years, because it speaks about the power of unity, of walking in unity. And about a month or so ago, we had that example again while we were in the middle of worship. There was such a unity being demonstrated as we were worshiping, and Pastor Mark picked up on it, and he said, there's a unity in this room. Jesus spoke about that, but here's what he said in relation to how this ties to this message. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of this world any more than I am of this world. We're not of this world. We know that. We quote that verse all the time, but do we quote it with a mindset that, yeah, I'm not of this world, because I'm seated next to him in heavenly places. I live and function from a whole different regime, even though I'm here on earth. And Jesus declares this in his prayer. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world. Sometimes we're like, get me out of here, Jesus. Get me out of here. And that's not a bad prayer. That's not a terrible thing. There's times when we will say, I want to be done with this. I haven't said that a lot, I don't think. I like my life. I like life on this earth for Jesus. So I like being here. So it's not a bad prayer, but he says, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but protect them from the evil one. They're not of this. They're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. So he's saying this before he's leaving the earth, that almost putting this declaration on his people that, hey, you don't belong here. You're here, and I'm not taking you out. You're here, but your citizenship's with me. Know that. Your citizenship is with me, and not just something in the future, but right now. Right now. I don't know about anybody else, but I think it was the night of the healing summit when I know something took place in me where I couldn't even tell you exactly what he took away. But I knew I don't belong here anymore. And I don't mean that in terms of physical death. I'm not going anywhere, Connie. I'm here. You're stuck. But something happened, and I knew that night something happened, and that's where some of the stuff started coming from we are really seated with Jesus in heavenly places, and we get to live from there. We get to live and not just occasionally, not just we have some powerful service some night. No, we get to live there every single day. And so Jesus said this. He said, "This you don't belong to this world. You don't belong to this world." But we still live there. Some of us sometimes still function as if we belong to this world. And the Lord is warning us to say, "No, stop. You don't have to do that. I made every provision for you to not have to do that." That's why he gives us verses like, "Why do you worry and fret? And why do you fuss about this? And why do you fuss about that?" And I mean, I have to tell you, almost any scripture I read anymore has a whole new, different illumination to it when you function from a new realm. So, several times in scripture, well, more than several, again, things jump off the page now in ways that some of them maybe you just kind of glossed over. But so in 1 Peter, Peter says at the very beginning, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia." 1 Peter 2:11, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul." And so throughout Scripture, just kind of sprinkled in, kind of casually, but it has caught my attention more recently as we're functioning from this place, that he describes over and over again us as foreigners, strangers, exiles, foreigners, strangers, exiles, foreigners, strangers, exiles. We don't belong here in the spiritual. We belong here as long as we have breath, because he has the say on that. But as long as we have that breath, we're functioning from a different place. We're functioning as a citizen of heaven, not as a citizen of earth. As an exile, as a foreigner, as a stranger. Because this world is not ours. So we belong to a different realm, and he wants us to live there and function there. And so when you find yourself, again, caught up in something, and we can get caught up in all kinds of things. I mean, right now we can get caught up in politics left and right. I could easily do that. Says no. Yeah, pay attention. I mean, I'm not saying ignore stuff. I'm not saying throw out your brain, but don't let it rule and govern. We have Holy Spirit to do that. We have Holy Spirit to do that. So one of the things I was thinking about, one of the things I found myself. I said this in class today. I find myself, because we're functioning from a different realm, I find myself, the scriptures tell us to pray continually. That has never become more relevant in my life than ever. So I jotted down a few things that are not in my notes or on the screen. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray continually. See, when we're seated with him in heavenly places, we have just this access so close to us that prayer just becomes a lifestyle. And I find myself in the car, just maybe if I'm alone, you know, and it's usually not in English. I mean, praying not in English has become just, if anybody happened to come upon me. But he says, pray continually. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, 1 Thessalonians 2:16, we thank God continually for you, continually, continued communication, continually. 2 Thessalonians verse 1, continually mention you in my prayers. Romans 1:9, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Ephesians 6:18, pray in the Spirit on all occasions, praying for those who belong to the Lord's people. Always, always, always. 2 Timothy 1:2, night and day, I continually mention you in my prayers. And so, again, these are verses we've referenced probably many, many times, but for whatever reason, in this, the context of being seated with him in heavenly places, this constant communication with Jesus, this is no substitute for a devotional life, no substitute for saying, okay, you know, I have this time with you every day. That's important. That's really important. That's a special time set aside for Jesus. Don't neglect that. Don't neglect that. If you don't have that in your life right now, work it into your life. But this goes beyond that. This goes beyond that. You know, I go to prayer meeting Saturday morning, men's prayer meeting Saturday morning, 6:30, Pastor Shane's house. We'll make room. We'll make room. 2 weeks ago, 27 men there on a Saturday morning at 6:30. We'll make room. But you know what? Before I go to men's prayer group, I study the word and go to prayer. And I'm not patting myself on the back with that. I'm telling you this because there's no substitute for your own personal time with Jesus. And this is where you're going to get personal revelation. It's where you're going to get personal correction if that's what's needed. And everything else flows out of there. All these other things we get to do, gathering together, which is happening all over the place, more than I've ever seen in my life, this is all cherries. More what he's doing with us together. So prayerful. That's just one example of your prayer life. When you reckon yourself being seated with him in heavenly places, your prayer life will take on a whole new dimension because you're communicating with him throughout the day. He's showing the revelation of things. You know, when I shared this two weeks ago when I shared those prophetic words, that is not my normal way of functioning. And anybody that has been around here for any length of time knows that. That is not, that sharing prophetic acts like that is not how, but the Lord's saying, step into it. If I'm showing you something, do it. And so that comes out of these places of being seated with him. And guess what? He wants to use all of you. There are people in here that have a sphere of influence in someone's life, some family's life, some neighborhood's life, some workplace's life, some school, some location that the rest of us do not have, but you have it. You have it. And so this work, again, is not just for us to say, oh, yes, he filled me today. He just filled me today, and I had such a good time, and I feel really good, and that's all good. That's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with all that. But there's someone in your path that needs to know about it. Someone in your path that needs to know about it. Okay, so Colossians 3, 1 through 3. Since you then have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. Set your heart on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life now is now hidden with Christ in God. For in him we live and move and have our being. That's one of my favorite verses. I love that verse. I love that verse for a long time, but it has a whole new meaning when we reckon ourselves that I'm seated with him in heavenly places. I'm seated with him. I've told this story in a number of locations. A few weeks ago, well, it was the Sunday that I introduced this word. We were watching, that Sunday night, Connie and I were watching The Chosen. And it was the episode where Jesus declares to Simon that his new name is going to be Peter. And upon this rock, I will build my church. And he's declaring this not to Peter in private, but in front of the other disciples. Well, Matthew was like, I don't like that guy. And you're saying the rock's going to be built on him? I don't like that guy. I have issues with him. He didn't say this publicly, but he knew it in his heart. And I think probably the other disciples probably knew too, because he probably talked, you know. We don't know that. But anyway, so Matthew's like, oh my goodness, he's elevated him above the rest of us. I mean, he wasn't really doing that. He was just giving him an assignment. But that was his perspective. So Matthew was like, what do I do? So they end up getting to wherever they were all going. And so he searches out Jesus and finds him at his campsite, you know. And I don't know if he sat down or was standing, but he begins expressing to him his issue with this one that had just been elevated. And he's like, you know, I don't know. I have issues with this guy. And as Jesus counsels, and you all know about Jesus' counsel, he doesn't like come right to the point. He tells a story or gives some sort of indicator. But Matthew gets the message that you can't hold on to this, you know. And so Matthew searches out, finds Simon, now called Peter, and he apologizes and he asks for forgiveness. And Simon Peter gets mad and he just storms off, storms down the road, doesn't say a word to him. And because Matthew was the tax collector, and there was some issues there with some tax collecting where he got turned in, and so Simon was upset with him, and so he doesn't say anything. So again, he goes to the camp. He searches out Jesus. He searches out Jesus and says, "This guy asked for forgiveness. I can't forgive him. He hurt my family. He hurt this. He hurt that." Jesus gives him some sort of instruction. He didn't tell him exactly what to do, but he knew what he had to do. And so the next scene you see Simon Peter was this buff, muscular, tough warrior type guy. Matthew, not so much. He was a little less, not really buff at all. So Simon Peter's marching into town, you know, and all the disciples are kind of seeing him, and Matthew catches him coming toward him, and his eyes are like real big, like, "Oh my gosh, he's going to beat me up. He's going to beat me up." And he walked up to him, stand up to him, and he went like this. And it was such a reminder. When we are seated next to Jesus, we can take to him anything that is on our mind. Now, this was real life. Jesus was actually there. They actually did this. But we have the same provision. We have the same, and we actually have a better provision, because Jesus isn't always, in the natural, he wasn't always in the vicinity. He's always in the vicinity. He's always in the vicinity, and we get to take to him, "I got odd against this person. What am I supposed to do?" Jesus doesn't say directly, but they knew after they left the presence of Jesus what they're supposed to do. So we take to Jesus the things that beset us, the things that confound us, the things that upset us, the things that come against us, whatever it may be, and then we go do what he tells us to do. And there was reconciliation. Something that was broken was fixed. You're going to hear from Pastor Ben next week about broken pieces, about broken pieces. This is also important. Also important. John 15, 18, 19. "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That's why the world hates you." Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. If you're craving love from the world, there's a song about that. Looking for love in all the wrong places. Looking for love in all the wrong places. We'll never find a love like we have in our Savior Jesus. If you're in this room today and you don't know that, or you haven't experienced that, it's my pleasure to introduce you to him today. And the reality is, once you say yes to that, heads up, my next message in a few weeks is called "Yes, Lord." I keep hearing it over and over and over again. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. And then James, and this is a pretty serious one, James 4:4, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. That is pretty serious. That's pretty serious. Again, we're exiles to all that. We're strangers to all that because he's opened the door and said, come and be mine. Come and be my child. Come and be my disciple. Follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me. Why is this important for us to learn how to sit with Jesus and stay there, not coming back? We're not coming back. We're not coming back. Number one, he's our source of peace. He's our source of peace. He's our source of peace. When we recognize and live in that place of being seated with him, there is a peace, Scripture says it, that passes all understanding. And that is tangible. That is so tangible. It's tangible that we don't have to function in the chaos that is part of this culture that the world wants to drag us into this controversy, that controversy, that issue, this issue. I'm not saying we're unaware of those things or that we don't speak to those things, but we don't have to be caught up in them. And so when we reckon ourselves seated with Jesus and we live there, there is a peace. And guess what? It spills out. It spills out into that culture that hates him. In that culture that doesn't know him yet. How can you go through this trial that you're going through, somebody may observe, and be at rest? Because I'm seated next to Jesus. And I'm not denying the difficulty of the trial. I'm not suggesting that trials aren't challenging, that trials are easy to go through. But when we're seated next to Jesus, a lot easier. But I'm not suggesting in any way that the pains aren't real, that the grief isn't real. Number two, there's a supernatural strength to this world from a place of overflow. You know, one of the things I say every year when we do August Overflow, I've said this for 17 years since we've done August Overflow, is that we can do August Overflow because we function from a place of overflow. We're not functioning out of some goodness of our own heart. We're not functioning from some effort to just do good works. We function out of that place of being seated next to Jesus, and when they're seated next to Jesus, there's more than enough. There's more than enough. And so we get to function, and there's something supernatural about that. So we're functioning in a supernatural way when we're seated next to Jesus. Supernatural things are flowing from his people, again, when we walk into a room, because he lives in us. He lives in us. Number three, there's an open way for us to be used radically. There's an open way for us to be used radically to affect others. When you're seated next to Jesus and you stay there and you live there and you deal with the things you have to deal with correctly, biblically, whatever those things are, when you're willing to be refined like fire, he'll use you. We don't have to look for the mission field. You don't have to look for people to share Jesus with. They are all around you. And you'll see them more clearly the more we reckon ourselves that, yeah, I'm seated next to Jesus. And it's not on this earth, it's in heavenly places, but I'm on this earth. Finally, and this is just simple enough, everything, and I can speak from absolute experience in my own life in these last just even 2-3 months. I mean, this has been going on for a long, long time, but the last 2-3 months everything's accelerated. life will be that much more enjoyable. There is a joy. There is a joy when we don't take on the weights of this world. When we don't, because we don't have to. Jesus came for them. Jesus came to deliver us from them. Why would I ever want to take them back on? So there is a joy. And everything we get to do has that covering on it, that covering of his presence, because he's in it, because he's in us. We sang this morning, I surrender. I surrender. I'm absolutely convinced that these songs, these words we keep getting, these encouragements we kept getting to step into these things are continual reminders. The Lord is patient with us, but there's going to come a day. That one verse talked about you adulterous, which is still up there, you adulterous people. And I'm not suggesting that's us, but if it fits, if you find yourself in that equation, don't run from it, don't hide from it, don't ignore it, because it's serious. What's he say there? Whoever wishes to be a friend of this world. And sometimes, even in our walk with Jesus, we can say, well, I don't really understand some of this stuff. Believe me, I don't really either. I don't understand all of it because I still live here. I mean, I'm living there, but I'm living here, and my mind is, still limited. And I'm slow sometimes. And so it requires us to say, I surrender. I surrender that thing that I don't understand. When I was preparing for this, I found this article, which I thought was pretty amazing. Let me just get them all pages in the right order here so that it makes some sense. Can't find the first page. Hang on. It was written. From a woman that was writing for. I think it's called the Catholic Ministry of some Catholic ministry. But she said she says from the start. She said, "We don't always in the Catholic Church function in this place, but I believe the Lord's calling us to do so." But she says this whole idea of living with Him in heavenly places, referencing these scriptures, listening to this same theme. She said, what we need to do is learn how to cultivate a greater awareness of the heavenly kingdom to which we belong. So I love the word that she used, the word cultivate, because that means that we're part of the process. We're part of the process. He's not just saying, here's my spirit willy-nilly. He's saying, no, what are you going to do with what I'm pouring out? And I believe that's what he's saying to us. What are we going to do with what he's pouring out? What are we going to do? And each one of us has our own responsibility with that. Each one of us has our own response to that. And yes, we can say, nah, I'm okay where I am. Careful with that. Careful with that. Remember, we're crossing over and we're not going back. If you're sitting here today and you don't like what you've seen as far as what you're seeing, you might want to find another place to worship, because this is what the Lord's doing, and we're going to see again one of the things prophetic. It's coming. One of the things he said, we're ushering in the return of Jesus, but we're going to see supernatural things happen. Now we don't function for the supernatural. That's just part of the equation. Jesus just does supernatural things when we're functioning in his presence, and so we're going to see that more and more and more and more, and then Jesus is going to come back. That's basically what Bobby said. And so, so get used to it. And if and again, if it's not your cup of tea, you know, there's other places to worship. We love everybody that comes. We're going to love everybody that comes. And we're not going to demand anything in terms of you have to do this and you have to do that. But we're in an atmosphere where he is doing transformative things in our midst. And he wants every one of us to be part of that. Every one of us to be part of that. He doesn't want anybody to be lost. He doesn't want any one of us to be identified as an adulterous person who's not functioning in the things that he made provision for. Oh, let me just look over here. I got... One of these notes written on here were just... I had listened to Pastor Ben's message a couple of times and several things that that he talked about. There's chastening going on. There's pruning going on. There's correction going on. We have to lay down selfishness and ego. So, my encouragement to you today, and it's basically, again, the title of my next message. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You're still going to hear that message in a few weeks. But I'm giving you the opportunity to say that today. Yes, Lord. And maybe part of your prayer is, I don't understand all that this means to sit next to you, but I want to. But I want to. I want to know more about what that means. And I mean that from a practical, everyday existence, not some ethereal, occasional spiritual high that I may experience from time to time. This is way beyond anything like that. It really is a new way of functioning. Again, not new to God. It's always been his plan. But it requires that very thing we sang. I surrender. I want to know you more. Part of that song. I want to know you more. Well, what better way than knowing him more than to say, I'm going to sit right next to you. I'm sitting right next to you. And if you have to visualize that to help you find the reality of it, then do so. Let's stand. I'm going to close with how I started, and that was by showing you a plumb line. And I want you to just think about this for a minute. If a plumb line was held up to your life, if Jesus was holding up a plumb line to your life today and saying, are things in your life lined up to where I want them to be? And this is not, there's no condemnation in this. There's no guilt. There's no shame in this. If the answer is yes, saying, okay, Lord, I want more. Just keep it up, Lord. Keep lining me up. Keep lining me up to your will, to your way. That everything about my life is lined up according to your plan. If there are things that aren't lined up that need to be lined up, let's deal with it today. deal with it today. There's people all around this room that will pray with you. You can go to Jesus completely on your own. Nobody has to touch you. No one has to, you don't even talk to anybody but Jesus. Because when Patrick explained that the Lord is holding up a plumb line to the people of Abundant Life Fellowship, that's us. And I take that seriously. And it applies to me too. It applies to every one of us. Not one of us, none of the pastors, none of the leaders, nobody is saying that we're above any of this. We're all saying we're in this. We're in this and we're holding ourselves to that same standard. We're holding ourselves to that same correction if that's what's necessary. We're holding ourselves to that same place of staying bowed down and staying submitted. And so as we close in prayer, there are people here who will pray with you if that's what you need or want. But ask yourself, is the plumb line being leveled up? Or are there crooked places? Are there crooked places Ask yourself, do I want to sit with Jesus in heavenly places while I'm here, still here on earth? And if so, what does that look like for me? We're not talking about cookie cutters here where we all look the same. You're uniquely and wonderfully made, the scripture says. You're uniquely and wonderfully made. And the only one he wants you to look like is him. Yeah. So Lord, this is my prayer today for us as a people, that we as your people will respond to your desire to hang a plumb line to our lives and say, is this straight? So we thank you, Lord, as we close out this time together with a time of giving you praise, maybe a time of repentance, maybe a time of reflection, maybe a time of letting you search us, search our hearts, search our minds. My prayer, Lord, is that you will accomplish what you came to accomplish. That you will line up your people. You will line up your people according to your will and to your way. And then you will keep teaching us how to sit with you. How to sit with you, how to receive from you, how to communicate with you in ways that maybe we've never done before. Praying, Lord, for your people that even this week, you will take us places in prayer as we are some of many of us are part of this 90 days of praying for our nation, that you will take us places in prayer that rock us. That you will give your people utterances in prayer that maybe they've never experienced before as they surrender. It's all about surrender. It's all about surrender. So, Lord, as we spend a little bit of time here, Have your way. Have your way. And Father, if there are people here who need your touch on their bodies because of some affliction or some diagnosis, then we are here to, yes, lay our hands on them and say, Lord, heal them in the name of Jesus. Because we know that as we are seated next to you, that that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is still available for us to declare over those bodies. We pray tonight that as the women gather here, we pray for every woman in this room now, that they'll come and they'll invite someone to come and be in your presence. So Lord, just continue to move among us. Move among us, Lord. And move among us as we go out of here later. As we go out of here. All for your glory, Jesus. In your name we pray.